Grace and peace be multiplied to you through God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation on this Sunday is recorded in John 13, verses 31 to 35. So when he, that is Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So far the text. In Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, this summer here at St. Paul, we've been considering in our sermon meditations Bible verses displayed on the decorative tapestries that are hanging on the walls in the fellowship hall downstairs. We've considered thus far Jesus' statement on two of the tapestries, John 8:12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." We praise the Lord for the life-giving light of his Son, Jesus, which he made to shine on us in our blanketed in darkness world, and in whom we have become through faith in him, children of light. We heard the exhortation on Confirmation Sunday to trust Jesus to guide us faithfully along life's path in a sermon based on that sweet verse from Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." In a sermon on Joshua 24, verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," we were reminded that he has pledged himself to us in covenant faithfulness, our gracious God. And we all as Christians, old and young alike, want to renew our vows to serve the Lord faithfully, looking to him for the needed strength. On Communion Sunday a few weeks ago, we discussed the Last Supper tapestry, you know, the one with Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting embroidered on it, and we spoke about the priceless blessings that Christ bestows on us through the Lord's Supper, which was being foreshadowed all through the Old Testament by means of the Passover Supper, which Jesus celebrated that night with his disciples in the upper room, and then instituted the Lord's Supper for us afterwards. 2 weeks ago, we spoke of the privilege Christ has given us as Christians to gather here every Sunday at church, to praise the Lord together as a Christian family, and to lend our support to our brothers and sisters in Christ as we examine that verse on another tapestry from Psalm 122. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And then last week we considered a verse from the longest Psalm 119. And we noted that just as Christ is the light of the world, even so he's given to us his inspired word to be a lamp to our feet and a light for our path all the way to heaven for the duration of our entire earthly trek through this world. That brings us to today. We want to turn our attention to yet another tapestry verse. That's the one you see reproduced on the bulletin cover, where the Savior gives his new command, love one another. We're going to consider first the love on which Jesus based his new command and why it's called new, and how it is a love that shows itself in real and tangible ways in our associations with others. Well, the setting of our text is once again the upper room on the eve of Jesus' death. He's just completed the task of washing his disciples' feet after an initial protest from Simon Peter. He then informs the disciples that one of them will betray him and reveals the perpetrator by handing him a piece of bread, Judas. Judas then leaves, and then we come to the words of our text that Jesus spoke to the remaining 11 in the upper room. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. So he was letting his disciples know that through Judas' dark deed, a chain of events would be set in motion that would result in their Lord and Master being worshipped by countless thousands of adoring, thankful people, and by which his heavenly Father would be worshipped by countless millions. Disciples didn't realize it at the time. Soon they would. And we know it as New Testament Christians. By the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, by his descent into hell, where he proclaimed his resounding victory over Satan, by his rising from the grave on Easter morning and ascending to his heavenly Father 40 days afterwards to reclaim the glory he had with the Father before time began, Jesus would be exalted, lifted up to the highest place, given the name above every name, which would also redound for the praise and glory of his Father who formulated the great salvation plan. And there would be another way by which Jesus and his Father would be glorified. Jesus went on to give them his new command, saying to them, love one another as I've loved you. Before we talk about that new command, maybe the question arises in our minds, how is it new? Wasn't that a commandment that the Lord has always wanted his children to obey? To take the love of God that he showed for the world in Jesus as a model in their lives, in their daily interactions with others, as a thank you for all that he has done for them or would do for them, thinking about the Old Testament believers. Didn't Jesus tell the law expert who came to him in the temple that day with that question, what's the greatest commandment of the law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and your neighbor as yourself. And did God not also reveal that same holy will of his to his Old Testament people on Sinai in the Ten Commandments? First three commandments, love for God, commandments 4-10, show love for your neighbor. And there are other scriptures that we could turn to show this. The Lord wanted Cain to show love for his brother Abel, not hate him and murder him. The Lord wanted King Saul, that was the negative example in our lesson, to show love for David like Jonathan did, the positive example, and not be jealous of David and throw a spear at him to try to kill him. And so, again, the question comes, what did Jesus mean when he said, I give you a new command to love one another as I've loved you? Here it may be helpful to be aware that there are different words in the original Greek translated new, different shades of meaning. There's one that means new in time, maybe the first definition that comes to our minds, like when a person visits a car dealership. buys a vehicle recently manufactured at the assembly plant, brand new, has a new car smell. There's another word in Greek for new, and it's the one that Jesus uses here in our text, which means new and unprecedented in quality. The new vehicle a person purchases at the dealership, besides being just manufactured, could also come with an array of features that no other car that the buyer, which he's ever owned, has had. Maybe a backup camera or a touchscreen computer with fancy apps to use while driving on the road. Unparalleled in bells and whistles. So when Jesus gave us his new command, it was not a precept that he was giving for the first time. It was a command he was basing on a love unprecedented, so wide and long and high and deep that it surpasses knowledge which no one had ever shown before. As we sing in one of our Lenten hymns, "Was it for crimes that I had done," he groaned upon the tree, "amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." And so while it's true, Isaiah the prophet wrote about the love of the uncomplaining Lamb of God who would go forth to the slaughter of the cross to be wounded for our transgressions, and David would write about the Lord as his loving shepherd who would amply supply his every need, and Moses wrote about the great prophet to come to whom the people would hearken. They didn't have the full details and the complete picture of God's great salvation plan. Now Jesus' disciples did, or they very soon would. And we, my friends, we have all the details of the Lord's love and all of its exquisite beauty, the story of the little child born humbly at Bethlehem would go on to do what was needed to be done to save us, his works of compassion that he showed for people during his ministry, his healing miracles, many of his words of instruction and comfort, including a great many of them in John's gospel that he spoke to his disciples in the upper room that night, such as, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Later on that night, his high priestly prayer we all have to benefit by, where Jesus prayed, "Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Glorify me in your presence, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world began. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, my disciples, but that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." All these comforting words of instruction of Jesus now recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures. The full picture of his life, death, resurrection, ascension, all the way his work for us, by which he demonstrated his perfect love. Love unparalleled, and now on which he based his new command to love others and to take that as a model in our lives as his believing disciples. Speaking of taking Jesus' love as a model, the new commandment, let's consider how that love of Christ shows itself in real and tangible ways. Just as the Lord came into the world, Jesus in the fullness of time, according to God's master plan, to serve us in selfless love, give his life as a ransom, serving us proactively, actively in so many ways, and especially redeeming our souls, he calls us to exhibit his love for those around us in our circle of life. in practical ways, nor has the Lord left us to cast about for ideas on how to do that, but has provided lots of good guidance in His Word on how to fulfill His new command amongst family members at home, in your marriage relationship, among church members, in our interactions with work colleagues, wherever we may be, while shopping at the store or driving down the road in your car. For example, Paul's words in Ephesians 4, where he says, be kind to one another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God, and there's the pattern, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Or from the familiar love chapter of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, where he describes what the love of God is like. Love is patient, kind, does not envy or boast. It isn't proud or rude, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, it doesn't bear grudges or chips on the shoulder against others who wrong us. Paul in Philippians 2 writes, another verse you'll be familiar with, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind, again, here's the pattern again, the model, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then there's the Apostle John, the author of our text, who also provides many excellent tips in his other writings for observing the new command of Jesus. John, by the way, who is known as the Apostle of Love because he describes himself in his writings in that way as the disciple whom Jesus loved and who wrote more on the subject than any other New Testament author, using the Greek word for love, agape, over 80 times in his writings. Like we heard in our Bible lesson earlier, my little children, from 1 John 3, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth, and in practical ways every day. The next chapter, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So praise the Lord Jesus and praise your Heavenly Father that He has used this gospel message of His agape love for you to bring you to faith through the gospel to save you, and now uses that same message to empower you to engage as His disciples spontaneously and proactively in acts of love for the blessing of those around you in your circle of life and for the praise of His Savior name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and protect your hearts and your thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. joy.